There are rivalries in sport, and then there is this. The Springboks against the All Blacks is the most historic, most brutal, and most tribal rivalry in rugby. It's the ultimate contest. And today, as we build up to the big test at Eden Park, I'm going to give you a front row seat to the history of the sport's ultimate rivalry. There are other countries who have tried to hijack this contest and insert themselves in here, but let's put it in context. Between the two of them, South Africa and New Zealand have won 7 of the 10 Rugby World Cups. Both have winning records against every other rugby nation, the exception being that the Kiwis have the head-to-head edge over South Africa. These are also the only two international rugby teams with historical winning percentages above 60%. Everyone else is mid-50s or below. Some Australians have tried to worm their way in here and mention their Bledisloe Cup rivalry. Sorry, Wallabies, I happen to know for a fact that the All Blacks themselves consider this the only rivalry that matters. And I'll tell you how they proved it with the ultimate show of respect. In what is perhaps the ultimate show of respect, back in 2005, the Kiwis introduced a new haka. And against who did they choose to perform it for the first time? That's right, guys. It was us. Personally, I cannot wait for the return of tours between these two nations. My only memory of those famous old school tours are the 1994 and 1996 tours. I fondly recall waking up at 4 in the morning in 94 to watch our boys take on the local New Zealand provincial teams. It didn't matter if it was Bay of Plenty, Taranaki, or Otago. I thought it was great. There I was, 10, 11 years old, with a Milo or a hot chocolate, and I was happy. I thought it was great, I really did. And then in 96, they came to South Africa. Sadly, it wasn't a genuinely proper tour. Yes, I know they faced Griquas, Boerland, and Northwest in midweek games, but wouldn't we have loved to see them take on Western Province and Northern Transvaal, as they were still called at the time? Well, that's coming back next year, and it feeds nicely into the history of it all. By 1921, international rugby had been around for a few decades, and all the talk was about the Boks and All Blacks. At long last, the two teams would meet. South Africa would tour the land of the long white cloud first. The highlight was a 3-test series which ended all square. The All Blacks took the first test, the Boks came roaring back to level the series, and then in a testament to pure endurance, the third test ended 0-0, if you can believe that. It was the dawn of a new rivalry forged in an absolute physical war. In 1937, the South Africans were back in New Zealand, and this time they made history, becoming the first international team to win a series on Kiwi soil. Despite losing the first test, the Boks came roaring back to win the second and third tests. That third match was played in Auckland, by the way. Perhaps we can channel that energy this coming weekend, hey? We would have to wait until 1956 for the next tour. This time, the New Zealanders would finally win their first test series against the South Africans. Fairly one-sided too, you might say. A 4-test series ended 3-1 to the home side. 9 years later, it was time for another tour. I think 9 years is better than the previous 19-year wait, eh? So this was a bad tour for the Springboks. Not only were we again beaten 3-1 in the test series, but immediately before that, we were actually whitewashed 2-0 by Australia. In those days, teams would often combine Australia and New Zealand in one tour. That's because teams still travelled by boat, and it was seen as the common sense thing to do. But it also meant marathon tours. This one went on for more than 3 months. And remember, the sport was still amateur in those days. Do you think your boss would give you 3 months off to go play rugby in a foreign land? Having said that, by 1965, teams were actually travelling by air, and sea travel was no longer a thing. Another thing that was going on at that stage was apartheid and international sanctions against our country. It meant that Springbok matches and tours became fewer and fewer. But in 1981, a tour that would transcend the game itself changed everything. It was the most controversial of rugby tours. It was a time of flower bombs and political chaos. And I'm going to tell you how that decisive final test ended long after the whistle should have been blown. The All Blacks won the first test, the Boks won the second, and the third was settled long after that final whistle was meant to blow. With the scores tied at 22 each, referee Clive Norling awarded the hosts a penalty, which Alan Hewson duly slotted, for a 25-22 win. The tour was characterised by protests and demonstrations. That third test even featured a pilot flying a plane over Eden Park during play and dropping flower bombs onto the field. On to 1994, apartheid had collapsed and South Africa was welcomed back into the international community. And we were again touring New Zealand. This time, the All Blacks would win a three-match series 2-0 with the third test drawn. Since then, the sides have met almost annually in the Tri Nations and the Rugby Championship. The All Blacks have dominated this contest on home soil. In fact, since 1996, the Springboks have only won four times. In 1998, on our way to winning the Tri Nations, we handed them a historic 13-3 beating in Wellington. It was a victory that felt seismic. How about Ricky January's late audacious try in 2008 that secured a famous win in Dunedin? A year later, we overcame them 32-29 to wrap up the Tri Nations. That victory was in Hamilton. And then we had to wait until 2018 to again beat them over there, a 36-34 triumph in Wellington. And that's it. So I'd say it's overdue for us to hand out a bit of pain to our fiercest and greatest rivals in their own backyard. Wouldn't you say? What's your feeling about this rivalry? Do you love it as much as I do? Or do you think the teams play each other too often? That's a common criticism too. Let me know in the comment section down below. And while you're down there, may I also encourage you to sign up on my Patreon page. I would love to do this full-time, guys, and go to Australia and cover the Rugby World Cup in 2027 for you from down under with daily coverage. If you sign up, you can get your name mentioned in my videos. You can get discounts on my soon-to-be-launched merchandise store. You can stand a chance to win the new Springbok jersey released this last week, earlier this year. You can also stand a chance to win the soon-to-be-released James Small biography. You might also be able to have quarterly Zoom calls with me where we discuss Springbok players, matches and tactics. And you might even be able to get me to write an ebook for you on your favorite player. It starts from as little as $5 per month. That's US dollars, not Zim dollars. And if that sounds like something you want to be a part of, then head on over to my Patreon page and sign up right now. The link is in the description area below. And I'll see you next time.